Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 2:47 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is April 21st. Well, I thought we'd kick off with Tesla because they came through with really quite impressive earnings last night, and the share initially bounced and it was up at one point over $100, and that buoyed sentiment for just about everything. But then you had Jay Powell come out and really throw cold water on that kind of enthusiasm. And he's pretty much given the green light to a 50 basis point hike in May. So we've seen a significant reversal right across the board in stocks. It's not just Tesla. And arguably, if you think about what Tesla has been able to achieve, then it should be reasonably well able to hold up. They're selling more cars, they're charging more for them, and they are improving their margins, but guidance isn't great. They don't anticipate selling quite as many cars, or their growth rate isn't likely to be as good in the second quarter as it was in the first. And perhaps that's not all that surprising because interest rates are rising, the cost of refinancing a home has jumped, so refinancing has pretty much evaporated. The cost of secondhand vehicles is starting to come back down, and there's more competition. And Tesla hasn't had a new model out in quite a while. So you'd have to think that anyone who wants a Model Y or a Model 3 might have already bought one. But it's still by far the number one electric vehicle company. But I think it's important to just spread our perspective a little bit wider. So, Google is a wonderful company and they do fantastic things, but the share is pulling back and it's now right on the lower side of the range that's been forming for the last 3 months. It's below the 200-day moving average. This is not a bullish chart. It looks quite likely that it is going to break lower. And the first area of potential support is around 2000. So, that's a big move from here, and it's at least another 20% on the downside. Apple, another great company, but also hasn't had a new product in really quite a long time, was also in negative territory today, reversed an earlier advance, and is likely to come back down and test the region of the 200-day moving average. We've had quite a bit of volatility over the course of the last 2 years, but the sequence of higher reaction lows has remained intact. But we can also go back and look at Apple, and there are plenty of occasions where it has pulled back by in excess of 30% and approximated the region of the 1,000-day moving average. Now, of course, there's a lot of speculation about Apple coming out with its own vehicle, but there's no sign of it just yet. Microsoft was also in negative territory today. It's also below the 200-day moving average, coming back down into the lower side of the range. Again, not a bullish chart. So, when we then think about the performance of the Fang Man plus Tesla shares, well, they look an awful lot like the Nasdaq because they occupy an awfully large weighting within the Nasdaq. And encountering resistance and pulling back into the region of the most recent lows. This is a lower rally high. And we haven't really seen many of those in the course of this big bull market. But most particularly, they don't tend to hold when they have been posted. So around the $10 trillion mark is going to be a big important level to hold for this index. And then I think it's also relevant to compare it to the wider market. And the relative performance of those eight large cap companies, it's been choppy and it's been up 1 week and down the next. And this is particularly true when you look at it on a daily basis because it's been really very choppy. But on aggregate, it's falling. And we are at testing again the lows from back in March. Now, it's been almost up one day down the next. So, in order to really demonstrate that we're in a supply dominated environment, then we're going to have to start to see some of these extending on the downside. Now, one thing that I think is rather relevant, and this follows up from a conversation I had last night after my tennis game with a local real estate agent. He was highlighting the fact that he's seeing an increasing number of contracts coming up for homes in the $500,000 plus range that are borrowing against their stock portfolios. So Schwab offers that kind of service, that you can borrow as much as 50% of your stock portfolio in order to fund a big lifestyle choice spending sprees, like a home or a big car or a yacht. And they're quite happy to extend that kind of credit in return for your portfolio. And of course, for some of the wealthier participants, then they don't have to sell their shares. They don't have to pay the capital gains tax because they're pledging those shares. They haven't sold them. So they can avoid capital gains tax. They still get to spend the money. In the event that they have to transfer ownership, well, then it is more of the repayment of a debt instrument rather than an outright sale. It's at least an exchange, so there's the possibility they might be able to avoid some of the capital gains tax. And Schwab, though, is pulling back, and it's at a new reaction low. It's obviously also taking its lead from the wider financial services sector. But I think it's important to just highlight this because banks underperforming isn't a great sign. And banks generally tend to do well when you have rising interest rates. But because right now we have quantitative tightening and a very flat yield curve and no refinancing activity, then that's bad for the banking sector. And if we start to see lower demand, then it's also bad for the financial services sector. So Schwab might be leading on the downside, but the diversified financials have been mostly going sideways and are still coming back down here. There's two lower highs since the peak in January, and the banking sector remains quite weak. So there's obviously liquidity is starting to come into focus here. Now, the TED spread and the OIS spread, they have come back down. So we don't see an imminent liquidity crisis event, but they haven't come all the way back down. And high yield spreads have moderated, but they haven't come all the way back down. So I think what we really have here is a trend, and this looks like a consolidation within the trend. Now, it's not sparking immediate problems right now, but if we go back and look at how spreads can move historically, waiting until you get the spike is usually too late. When these things move, they can move exceptionally quickly. So the very fact that we have a trend and that these pullbacks in the spread are reasonably similar size suggests that there is a trend. Well, we should then expect that the surprises will be on the upside and that high yield spreads will eventually start to become problematic. Now, 10-year yields popped on the upside when the Federal Reserve is talking about raising rates by 50 basis points. But they didn't hold the move in here today. So we're still in the region of 3%. It looks like a consolidation. It's not the first consolidation. It's not even the deepest consolidation. So this is still a reasonably consistent uptrend, despite the fact that we're testing a really quite clear psychological area of resistance for yield support for prices. And we have plenty of evidence over the last decade of resistance for yields being found in this exact area. So I don't think it's at all beyond the bounds possibility that we get at least some pause in consolidation. And if that happens, well, it could act as some support for stock markets, but it's unlikely we're going to see support for stocks until yields start to come back down in a more convincing manner. Now, we can also think about the dollar, because the strength of the dollar is sucking liquidity out of the global economy. and the dollar was in positive territory today and reversed an earlier decline. And this was particularly evident in the euro. The euro was up at one stage in a rather dynamic manner and is finishing out the day in negative territory. And the renminbi is now also being devalued. And it was down in a dynamic manner again in here today. So this has now clearly broken the downtrend, and we are at least going to see an unwinding of the overextension relative to the 1,000-day moving average. But I think it is much more likely that the renminbi is going to weaken all the way down towards that 720 area. China needs a weaker currency, and they are now doing what is necessary to achieve it. And the stock market remains under pressure. CSI 300 was down in a dynamic manner in here today, and right back on the region of the lows from the middle of March. Now, the central bank is beginning to talk to the sovereign wealth funds and the big asset managers to go in there and start buying those stocks. But we're going to have to see clear evidence of that to demonstrate that a low of more than short-term significance is in, because it's very unlikely that the COVID zero policy is going to be disbanded. The party congress is in November, so that's another 6 months from now. And it is the number one priority of the communist administration to cement the rule of Xi Jinping. And this is obviously problematic in terms of how they're dealing with the coronavirus. And unfortunately, they probably don't have a lot of choice, because the vaccines that China produced aren't particularly effective against Omicron or Delta. And they have millions of people who didn't take them in the first place. And they deliberately stoked reticence against Western vaccines. So there's nobody taking those either. So then they don't have a lot of choice. If they want to slow down the spread of the virus and avoid a lot of discomfort, then they are quarantining, and they're going to remain on that path. And something that we've seen in just about every country is that once they embark upon a policy, they don't generally tend to deviate from it. It's very much a method of governing that we've seen in most countries, is that you make a choice and you stick to it. And at least if you stick to your choice, you can say that we made a decision and on the best available information at the time, and we're doing what's necessary. And that's generally been the way that every country has adopted their policies for the coronavirus. But of course, China slowing down, and this massive, it's also worth reminding ourselves that Zhejiang province is a massive industrial complex. And what you get produced in Zhejiang, which is next door to Shanghai, and Shanghai is the port for all of the manufacturing in that area, is lots of things that come into Dollar General stores. So it's the port congestion there is going to have knock-on effects for all retailers selling cheap knickknacks or cheap household goods. And this is obviously also going to contribute to inflationary pressures. So when we think about, for example, the Dollar General store, well, in an inflationary environment, it is the kind of stock that would do well, but they're probably going to start encountering supply chain issues. And then in here today, we also had earnings coming through from Freeport-McMoRan, and the share was down in a dynamic manner. So they reported record production in excess of £1 billion of copper. They produced more gold as well, and costs are rising. And there's not a lot they can do about rising oil prices. So the share has pulled back in a dynamic manner, and it looks at least likely to come back down and test the $40 level. We saw a lot of commonality in the in the industrial resources sector in here today. So Anglo-American was also down in a dynamic manner, and that's a rather large downside weekly key reversal. So it's a peak of at least near-term and potentially medium-term significance. BHP Billiton was also, well, it's not Billiton anymore, is it? It's just BHP, was also down in a dynamic manner, which suggests at least some resistance around the 3000 P level, and an unwinding of the overbought condition probably looks more likely now than it did at the end of last week. Both Rio Tinto and Vale have already posted lower highs, so they're also pulling back in here, but they were off their lows at least. So at least some additional consolidation appears to be underway. The LME Metals Index has not really devalued all that much. It's just in a consolidation, and it's still a reasonably consistent trend overall. Copper prices were negative for 2 days this week and a little bit up in here today, so still very range-bound and in a very tight band overall. There's still a lot of demand that is expected for copper. So despite the fact that Freeport has has successfully boosted its production, it's one of the few copper miners that has that capability. And carbon credit prices popped on the upside yesterday. They were a little bit negative in here today. But as long as you have high carbon credit prices, then that's going to boost demand for renewable energy. And that's obviously beneficial for both copper and for steel, but also then lithium, cobalt, manganese as well. Now, when we think about European stock markets, I think it's rather interesting that we have continued strength in dividend aristocrats, and they were in negative territory today as well, but certainly relative strength here because they're in the region of the all-time highs. And European stocks were in positive territory in early trading and then would have given up some of that and will probably be in negative territory tomorrow, but still holding on reasonably well, and they are trading at lower valuations. So it's the technology sector and the companies that are most heavily exposed to interest rates are selling off most aggressively. And Disney was down and breaking down out of its range in here today to a new reaction low. So there's certainly an online campaign underway to undermine interest and loyalty to the Disney brand. But Netflix, having really collapsed earlier on this week, was also again in negative territory today. So these are companies where there's certainly a divergence going on. Any kind of company that has adopted a business model that is predicated on growth rather than profits is being punished in here. Those that have got strong moats and reliable cash flows and reliable records of increasing dividends, they're holding on better. And European shares, they don't really have big technology weightings in those indices. And the Nikkei was in positive territory today as well. So it's looking like a higher reaction low here for Japanese equities. If it can push back above the 200-day moving average, well, that would be much more encouraging. And the Nikkei is pausing around the 130 level. Now, it is very oversold in the short term, but the Japanese authorities have a notion of avoiding or abandoning their quantitative easing program. They've been trying to get inflation moving for years, and it might finally be working. So they're getting exactly what they wanted. And that's likely to put continued downward pressure on the currency. So there will be increasing demand for carry trades. And Australia has historically been the primary destination for Japanese investors to park their savings. And the ASX 200 was pushing on to test its all-time highs in here today. And the Australian dollar is also beginning to strengthen. So I guess we could say it was strengthening yesterday, wasn't able to hold it today because of this strength in the US dollar. But the challenge here is that we are in a commodity-driven environment, and that's generally positive for commodity-related currencies. They're going to be the ones that rally first, if and when the US dollar eventually does begin to encounter resistance. We're just not there just yet. And the Australian dollar, at least, is holding on better than other currencies in the developed world. The Brazilian real continues to strengthen because the Brazilian central bank has front-loaded its interest rate hikes already. And the South African rand is breaking lower because its central bank isn't willing to do what's necessary to curtail inflation. So that's a big downward dynamic for the South African rand in here today. In emerging Asia, the Vietnamese market has pulled back rather sharply, and it's been led lower by an automotive company. But this is now below the 200-day moving average and pulling back down into the underlying trading range. It's an ideal scenario for a midpoint danger line stop, so it hasn't quite triggered that yet, and it will have to rally tomorrow, or at least through the end of this week, in order to suggest that support has been found. But this is the biggest pullback and the biggest inconsistency we've seen in the Vietnamese market in quite a while. And when China's markets are under pressure, India tends to catch a bid, and the Indian market is bouncing from the region of the 200-day moving average. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.